This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm absolutely delighted to have Canada's acclaimed cookbook queen back on the show with all of her tips and hacks and a chance to win her fabulous cookbook. Let's get a shot of this. It's The Best of Rose Reisman, 20 Years of Healthy Recipes. That's pretty fantastic. And yes, of course, I'm talking about 22-time cookbook author, nutritional consultant, entrepreneur, and TV personality, Rose Reisman. And later on, I'll be joined by former talent agent and now thinking partner and founder of Rap Sessions, Jess Rapp. What a fascinating story that is. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Rose Reisman. So as mentioned, Rose is an award-winning entrepreneur, caterer, author, and media personality, not to mention a mother of four and a grandmother of eight. Wow. As a registered nutritional consultant and personal specialist trainer, armed with an MBA, Rose has taken her passion for healthy living and developed it into a multifaceted enterprise, making her really one of Canada's leading authorities on the art of eating and living well. Rose is the consultant of Rose Reisman Catering, which focuses on healthy cuisine. She also oversees Personal Gourmet, a convenient and flexible fresh and frozen individual meal plan. And Rose is a frequent speaker on national TV and radio, including Breakfast Television and 680 News, and now Zoomer Radio, too. Rose is a sought-after speaker, spokesperson, media personality, and columnist all across Canada. She's published 22 cookbooks. Just like let that sink in. That's a lot. That's incredible. Including The Best of Rose Reisman, 20 Years of Healthy Recipes. And I want to tell you all, a lucky listener will be able to win her incredible cookbook by calling in right now with any questions or comments from Rose about anything to do with food, recipes, kitchen hacks, fitness. You should see her. When you see the YouTube video and our online things on At The Bliss Minute on Instagram, you'll see what I'm talking about. She looks phenomenal. And also just questions about what it takes to become a successful entrepreneur, because Rose, really, you are one. So listeners, all you have to do is give us a call toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Or local, you can call us at 360-0740, and you will be entered into a draw to win a copy of this fabulous hardcover Rose Reisman masterpiece. Rose is also an experienced and sought-after public speaker. And so many things. She shares the magic bullet of inspirational insight and how-tos on the balance of a busy lifestyle combined with healthy, mindful eating. She's a trusted spokesperson and brand partner. She's a leading health expert, published author, and nutritionist, and she aims to share her wealth of knowledge with every and anything to do with healthy eating and living well. All you have to do is follow Rose's social channels at Rose Reisman. That's R-E-I-S-M-A-N. Rose, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss. So lovely to have you here live.
And thank you for that introduction. I didn't know who you were talking about.
You really are, Rose, the queen. And I'm looking at you. Like, you walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah.
You are the queen of healthy eating, working out, and living. Have you always been this way? When did this passion for healthy eating and living really begin?
No, I think that, you know, being raised by Eastern European parents, you know, it was meat, meat, and more eat, and eat the fat off the meat because that's good for you, and forget fruits and vegetables. Those are frivolous. And it wasn't until I started understanding more about health and I was overweight as a child, and in my 20s there was high cholesterol, and I didn't understand any of this. It was a different foreign language. And then I just started reading more and saying, oh my God, genetically everyone in my family passed from heart disease, stroke, diabetes. And it just woke me up in my mid to late 20s and jumped on the bandwagon of healthy eating and exercise. And I will not tell you how many decades, but I've been at it for a long time. And it's just to a point where the energy I feel and the health I feel today, because we never know what life brings, has just been so positive by living like this.
Wow. You get up at 5 in the morning and get
4.
On...
4 a.m. every morning.
4 a.m. Yeah. to get on that yeah. treadmill. What time do you have to go to bed to get up at 4 a.m.?
9:30 at the latest. Wow. Like, I'm a bit of a deadbeat at night. My husband says, you're so exciting, Rose. But you know what? I get up at 4, not so much to work out, then I work then. Because think about it. When's no one is disturbing you from 4 to 6 in the morning? There's no phone calls. There's no emails. There's no dogs barking. I get a lot of research done for the social media, which I try to do every single day. And then 6 to 7, I work out. And then 7 to 8, I walk Charlie, my dog. And by 8:30, I'm dressed. And it's really, wow. you pay a bit of a price if you go to bed late at night. But it's a great lifestyle for somebody that's got a busy day the rest of the day.
Isn't that terrific? And yeah. so you're walking, how many steps a day would you say?
Oh, probably. Well, Charlie's a little injured now. He has a leg injury. Normally, we do about 16,000 steps a day.
Wow.
So with him in the morning, I'm doing maybe 7,000 or 8,000. But remember, think about running around all day. Like 4 kids who are grown up at 8, going to be 9 grandchildren in 2 weeks. And every day I try to devote to one of the grandchildren after 4 o'clock. I say, I'm available, and I pick up every day somewhere in the city. So it's a full life. It's a very good life.
What a gift, right? What a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. I love it. Everyone, if you have a question for Rose Reisman, just give us a call, and Rose will answer your questions live on the air, and you'll be entered into a draw to win a copy of this fabulous book, The Best of Rose Reisman, 20 Years of Healthy Recipes. To call us, it's 360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740. I always wonder this, is what triggers your inspiration? What sets you off? Is it the ingredients or an article you've read or a gorgeous picture in a food magazine?
A little bit of all of that. I mean, I've always loved food. I love creating recipes, dissecting them, finding out nutritional information, and it's all because of that desire to live healthier. So I'm looking at traditional high-fat foods and saying, okay, I want it to really taste good. I don't want to call it a diet cheesecake. I want you to eat it and not know what I've done until you do the recipe. Okay. So it's really searching for that health element, but taste is number one.
Mm. Unbelievable. Do you ever get sick of cooking? I was wondering about that as well. And when you're just not jazzed anymore and creative,
yeah.
how does Rose Reisman handle that?
Yeah, like some days if I wake up or I, you know, whatever reason, just, you know, looked at the Instagram and people didn't like a certain recipe I did, I kind of say, okay, you know what, move away. And I'll take a couple days away and just throw myself into something else. And then the desire comes back. So I think no matter what you do, you got to give yourself that break. For sure, especially because I'm in my kitchen sometimes 3-4 hours a day filming. So it's a lot of time there. Or the worst is when every Sunday night I have the entire family, and there's now 18 of us. And I always try different things. And the worst is when, you know, the kids, they love me and I love them, but they go, Mom, a little dry. Mom, not enough sauce. Too sweet. And then my husband will walk out of the kitchen and look. He says, you're all walking on thin ice. So they're critics. And sometimes, you know, too much criticism is not a good thing.
But you do this every night, like Sunday, which
every
is
Sunday.
So incredible. Yeah, it's like a fam jam.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's everyone together. Yeah. Like, how lovely is that?
Yeah. And one of the reasons, Judy, I do it is because, you know, I mean, having kids, they can live away. They can live here. Even my 4 kids live within 15 minutes of each other. They would not, though, see each other unless I did this Sunday nights.
Wow.
Why? Because everybody's life is so busy.
Fabulous.
They're all, so this way they get together and they've now learned to really enjoy it. They hang out. We rush around with the babies and doing everything else. And they just get a chance to catch up with each other, which is so hard for families today.
Do you plan, like, this is going to be Mexican night, Italian night, Greek night?
Yeah.
Do you plan it well in advance and figure it out?
Yeah, like,
is that
like,
fun?
Like just... Yeah, like Friday I say, okay, what am I going to make? Saturday I got to do the shopping. And then Saturday is a prep day, so today is a day where we'd be prepping and Sunday finishing it off. And I'm always trying new things on them, but I have to make sure there's certain things I don't like so I don't make them. And dessert's always like literally I'll make about 8 or 10 different dishes for Sunday night.
Wow.
And then I'll do 3 or 4 desserts. So I do enough so that they all have care packages, so they have lunch the next day. Then my husband always yells at me on Monday, he goes, anything for me? I go, oh, honey, I forgot.
The shoemaker sent up
her. Absolutely.
Right? I love that.
Your
Your Instagram is unbelievable. You have a huge, huge following.
Yeah,
everyone at Rose
yeah.
Reisman on yeah. Instagram. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And one of your hacks actually went viral, the corn on the cob.
Yeah.
And guess what? I had a Friday night dinner last night, and I told this very good friend of mine about this hack mm-hmm. that you do, the corn on the cob. She tried it and said it was the best corn she ever made in her life, thanks to Rose Reisman. Can you tell us about the best way to make corn on the cob?
You know what? Everybody says, okay, the right lighting, the right set to get a good number on Instagram. So this was just at my kitchen stove, and my husband actually taught me this. His father used to be a grocer, and he would take a corn and run it under hot water and go, this is how you eat a corn. So my husband would always yell at me for boiling the corn for 10, 15 minutes. So what I do is I take an inch of water in a wide like skillet, bring the water to a boil, put in your corn, 2 minutes. Max 2 minutes.
Huh.
Everybody leaves their corn for 5, 10, 15 minutes. 2 minutes, eat it immediately or rinse it with some cold water to die for. That,
wow.
And we had 11 million views on Instagram for that crazy corn.
That
so,
is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, the switchboard's lit up like a Christmas tree for you here. So
oh,
I think we've got
okay.
Jennifer A. on the line from Toronto.
Sure.
And hi, Jennifer. You're on the air, I think.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You're asking about meals for women over 50 struggling with loss of bone density. Can you say more?
Yes.
Yes, that's yeah. correct. Please. Yeah.
So what you want to do is make sure you have enough protein, Jennifer, in your diet. And it's easy to get. You don't need to eat a lot of meat or chicken. I mean, I always start the morning with Greek yogurt, plain Greek yogurt. You've got so much protein in Greek yogurt. You've got like, oh my God, like 18 grams and 3/4 of a cup. That's huge. So if you like Greek yogurt, start with that. Put berries in, nuts, whatever else you want. And then other protein is just, you can have protein as nuts. You can have fish, chicken, meat. I mean, there's so many ways to do it, and you don't need a lot of it, which is really nice. Like beans are one of the most fabulous sources of protein. What do you find you have a challenge with?
Well, just sometimes just getting very fed up of cooking.
Right.
And I like the question, like, do you ever get fed up of cooking?
Yeah, sure.
After doing it all these years.
Sure. So you could have like just trail mix around. Just have nuts, dried fruit. Beans are fantastic. I love to air fry chickpeas. I mean, that's full of protein. So you can get so much protein without really opening your oven. You don't need to do that.
Thank you. And I'm trying to grow as much of my own food as I can so that it's healthy. And like you, a lot of mine goes to my grandkids.
Yeah, there you go. Those lucky kids.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for your call today, Jennifer. Great to talk to you. We have someone else on the line. We have Bob from Stratford asking how important it is to eat veggies. Bob, ask away.
Okay. Excuse me. Yes, my wife feeds me veggies. And she made, is a bean salad vegetable?
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. And you're getting protein and fiber, too.
And she didn't cook it. She mixed it together.
Okay.
Put it in the fridge for a while.
Right.
Brought it out and said, eat this. No, she didn't.
Okay. She's not that bad, right?
No. No, and I was really good. She took it out of a cookbook.
Right.
And that's why I'm calling. Because you have a cookbook, and I think she would really like it.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely,
you know?
She'd enjoy it.
We're both on the disabled list right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're older.
Right.
We're older.
Mm-hmm.
And, she loves cooking.
Great. So, Bob, I'm going to reinforce, eat your vegetables, okay? There are too many nutrients in there to avoid. And just eat the vegetables you love. Don't eat the ones you don't like.
Oh, you mean like cauliflower and
yeah, whatever you don't like, don't have.
Broccoli. She does broccoli in a flat pan.
Right.
In the oven.
Yeah, nice. That's great. That's great.
It's wonderful. Oh, and I love eating it now.
Good. There you go.
So, awesome.
And I thank Judy because I've been listening to her the last long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Thank
and I've
you.
Learned so much.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Bob. Thank
Excellent.
You so much for tuning
yes,
in.
I have. And some of the other guests she's had on have just been, last week, the music was, oh my, My, I didn't know we had people like that. Excuse me.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
So great to hear from you, and I hope you continue to eat healthy and continue listening. We love having you as a listener on this show, and I hope this all brings you one step closer to finding your bliss. Thanks so much for your call today. We have so many questions. We have so many people. I'm just noticing one that I know you would like because it's Valerie from Toronto asking about healthy snacks for grandkids. Hi, Valerie. You're on the air.
Hello. I pick up my grandsons from daycare alternating days. So 4 o'clock, they're 5, 4, and 2. And my daughter is concerned if I feed them snacks before dinner. But
right.
By 4 o'clock, they're very hungry. I like to take them for ice cream, but
Valerie,
healthier things.
Yeah.
And if I don't give them a snack, they're very crabby.
Yeah, no, you know, Valerie, I totally agree with you, and I have the same dilemma. One grandchild I pick up, I give snacks. The other one, the mom doesn't want me to give snacks, but I find by 4 p.m. their blood sugar is crashing, and
yeah.
They're miserable, and they're screaming, and they're
yeah.
just sour. So I always give a snack no matter what, and what I like to give, and it doesn't spoil their appetite. Again, give them some protein, some carbs. So I give them a cheese string with some crackers. I give them some fruit, and sometimes I even mix some plain Greek yogurt, and I put a little dollop of raspberry jam in. Instead of giving them strawberry yogurt in the stores, which has got sugar or artificial sweeteners, that little bit of jam goes a long way with Greek yogurt.
Yeah, one of them loves the cheese, one loves yogurt, but the other one is always begging for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
a little chocolate.
Store, I took him shopping, and he's picking
right.
So gummies off the shelf and roll-ups.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, my kids would kill me if I started giving them ice cream
yeah.
and all that. Occasionally, I sneak it into them. I hope they're not listening.
Valerie, thank yeah. you so much for your call today, and good luck. I hope that's been helpful to you, and you're going to be entered in the draw to win this fabulous Rose Reisman cookbook. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day. So just before we go to break, I just wanted to say I love your daily tips and your hacks that you
Thank
post
you.
Daily on Instagram. And we also noticed that your reels have great cinematography. Who films your reels for
oh
you?
My
you
God.
Always look so fabulous. Or do you film and edit yourself?
I film everything myself. And I create all the ideas myself. But then I have somebody that edits because the amount of time to post to edit, oh my God, I would be able to do one post a week. So this way we post every day, and every other day we post two.
Wow.
So we're posting like 10 Instagrams a week, everything on food, health, trends. And I always bring my crazy wild husband in to have some fun with him. So people enjoy Sam, so I keep bringing him on.
It's so great. Everyone check out like the crustless quiche, which is fabulous,
yeah.
and the corn salad with the peppers, cucumbers, green onions, peaches, and avocados, and how you always use the freshest fruits
yeah.
and vegetables. It's so inspiring. It just sort of reinvigorates you and gets you excited.
Judy, you want me to give you 3 or 4 quick hacks for people that
yes.
they can do? Okay,
absolutely.
Lemons, limes. Freeze them. Put them in the freezer. They'll never go bad. When you take them out, they're fantastic to juice with double the juice. Another one, avocados. Mm-hmm. You won't use it for a salad, but you can freeze ripe avocados and use it for guacamole.
Wow.
Another one is berries. Okay, how do you preserve? I preserve all my strawberries, blueberries, blackberries in a mason jar, 10 days in the refrigerator. Do not wash. They spend 10 days, no mold, nothing.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the kind of hacks and tips that help you out in the home.
I don't even know how you dream them up. We're going to find out about that after the break. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll find out more about Rose's creative process when creating her recipes for cookbooks. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And before we learn more about Rose Reisman's creative process, I want to give a shout-out to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. Thanks to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it, while always going that extra mile to make sure you leave with a big smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship-shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're the best. We are back in the studio with Rose Reisman, cookbook author extraordinaire. And Rose, we have another call we're going to get to in a minute, but I just want to say, anyone who wants to call and enter into this fabulous giveaway, the number to call is 740-4740 or 360-0740. Rose, you also have a really cool giveaway happening on your platform at Rose Reisman. Share it with our audience.
If you go to at Rose Reisman and Instagram, today we just announced three gift certificates, $100 to President's Choice, another $100 to Skip the Dishes, and a $145 gift certificate to Maritime Box, which is a really wonderful place out in the Atlantic provinces for just really great delicacies. So enter in, easy to enter, and hope you win.
That's so awesome. So many great giveaways today with Rose Reisman. I love it. We have another call on the air. We have Rhea from Waterford, and she's talking about where to start with trying to eat healthy. Hi, Rhea. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
Great to have you. Can you tell us a little more about what you mean about trying to eat healthy?
Well, okay, I'm 65 now, and I'm the opposite of Rose. I didn't have a weight problem when I was younger. And I actually gained a lot of weight over the years. And I'm trying to, I've been learning a lot about, you know, healthy eating. And I kind of know a lot of the choices I should be making. But I just have a really hard time getting organized with my meals. And I've got, I go and I buy healthy things. So I have in my freezer edamame beans, spinach. I have all kinds of vegetables. And then like chicken and like good healthy things. But then when it comes to organizing meals, I just can't seem to get it together.
So
I'm wondering how you organize your meals every week.
That's a good question, Rhea. So what do you do? So tell me what you eat, for instance, for breakfast.
Well, often eggs and toast.
Okay.
I do have Greek yogurt in the fridge, but I haven't really eaten that recently. But, often it's eggs, maybe toast and cheese.
Okay, so what you want to do is set yourself up a little meal plan. That will help you. So because it's not a natural thing for you to do, just write out on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, what could you eat for breakfast that's healthy? Write it out. If you've got Greek yogurt in the fridge, you're there. Do you have some fruit? Do you have some bananas? Do you have some nuts? That could be your breakfast. Lunch, do you have greens or vegetables? Make a salad. And then add what protein do you have in there? It could be cheese. It could be some tuna. It could be chicken. So if you make a little meal plan for yourself, that will start to become more natural to you. It's like if you go into a gym and you don't know what to do in exercising, look at all the equipment. Have a game plan before you go in. And if you set yourself up with 2 days just in advance, see how it goes. See if you're hungry. And the most important thing is I beg people to avoid as much processed foods as you can. So anything that's in a box, or that's packaged and you read the ingredients and there's 50 of them and you don't know how to pronounce them, please put it back. Anything you can make from scratch is going to give you much more energy and better health.
Okay.
Awesome.
No, I appreciate that.
Good luck.
Thanks, Rhea. Thanks for your call today. Does that include Eggo waffles?
Eggo waffles. Oh, boy. Are you going to have fun making your own?
You know, Rose, you create all these recipes. What is your process, first of all, before you even get to the cookbook, in creating a recipe?
Wow. I try to look at trends, so I don't want to be cooking things from 50 years ago if people don't want them anymore, but I will take recipes from 50 years ago and update them. So I might do a shepherd's pie, which people love. And this one did so well on Instagram. But I, instead of the white potatoes, I did sweet potato mash. Mm. People just love the change. So looking at what did take place and can you update it, that's a big thing. And then what are the trends? So spiralized cucumber became a big trend a couple of years ago. And so easy to do just with a vegetable peeler. I put dumplings into that because dumplings became a really crazy thing, which you can buy in the supermarket. And, you know, if you can buy something that's good, doesn't have a lot of ingredients, why not do that?
Totally.
So looking at trends, so every day those 2 hours from 4 to 6 in the morning is when all I do is read like 30 newsletters on food and see where are people going, what's new, what are people – and then I look at it and go, nah, that doesn't interest me. Or, yeah, that's a really cool idea.
Now, that's just a recipe.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about a cookbook. Like, I'm thinking about someone who does one cookbook,
goodness,
a quintessential, and that's, like, all they've got in them. But you've done 22.
Yeah.
What is involved?
Like, it's a lot of work, a cookbook. I did it while I was raising my 4 children. Most of my books were written while I was raising the 4 kids because I wanted to be, quotations, a stay-at-home mom to have my hands on, but I wanted to work. So that was one of the greatest things I could do. So, you know, again, it would be, like, always sectioning appetizers, soups, salads, main course, you know, plant-based meals, desserts. And it would just be constantly reinventing a new recipe, taking an old recipe that people liked, and also making it accessible. I never wanted a recipe with 30 ingredients that would have you marinate for 3 days. I didn't want people to have that skill set. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it easy. So I guess I could be criticized for not having sophisticated recipes, but they're recipes that people will make at home.
I was wondering if you get inspiration from restaurants and if you have any fave restaurants in Toronto. And do you ever say to someone in the restaurant, can I please have this recipe?
Yeah, I will. I know that there's a place called Z Grill in Toronto on Mount Pleasant. Great seafood, but they have got a date cake there, like a sticky date pudding cake.
Yeah.
And I did ask them for the recipe, and there was way too much fat in it. But I came home and recreated it, and it's outstanding. So a sticky date cake or sticky toffee pudding, they call it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so sometimes – but restaurants, you got to be really careful. Two things. They tend to really use excess sodium, tons. And I can always tell the next morning my mouth is dry. I ate in a restaurant. And they tend to hide a lot of fat. So – if you're wondering why your weight might be up or your blood pressure might be up, if you're eating too much in restaurants, that could be a clue.
That could be the reason.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the fitness for a minute, and I'm sorry. I'm just, like, obsessed
because
you look so good sitting here.
Oh, sweet.
So you've got the 16,000 steps a day. How often do you do weights?
I do weights twice a week, and I do aerobics 7 days a week. And what I do, I work out every day. And people say you shouldn't, but it works for me. And what I find in the aerobic is – cross train. So instead of the one equipment, so I wear down muscles. So one day I'll swim, another day I bike, the next day I do the Stairmaster, next day I do the weights, repeat the scene all over again. And it just keeps me mentally going. And then I do Pilates because I had a bad back for years. So the Pilates really helped. I had a L4-5, still have a herniated disc. But thank God, I don't know it's there anymore because the Pilates really strengthened my core and strengthened my back. So you got to look at injuries and pay attention to your injuries because when you have an injury and you let it go, the whole body starts to break down and you can't work out as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you do any meditation?
No, I'm not a good meditator.
As we were meditating off the top, I was like, Rose doesn't care.
No, she could see me going, I'm terrible. I've tried. It's not my – I need to do something like that because I'm just probably too wired and too much. But my lifestyle now works for me.
Yeah.
So I try to stick to what I do. I do love physical activity. My husband and I go away hiking always once a year. Last year we went to the Dolomites, and this year we're not sure where. But I love physical exercise. That helps me mentally.
That's great.
And I think the exercise is what does calm my mind down.
Yes, that's so fantastic. Yeah. You're such an inspirational person. I see you on that Pilates reformer.
Yeah,
and, and I'm like, wow. Like, if everyone
and
just...
I want people to know, I don't want to do it. So you can feel normal. Like, I'll wake up at 4 and hate my life for 10 minutes because I go, I'd rather sleep. And when I'm going into workout, I always go, I don't really want to do this. And I've been saying that for decades. So you don't have to love it. But when you finish, you're so thrilled you did it.
Water. I wanted to ask you about water because someone once told me 3 liters, which I quit. That was a little much for me. But what do you recommend in terms of water?
So, like, I've got a bottle here. I love SodaStream. So I do SodaStream because I just love the carbonated water. I won't measure so much, but I eat so many fruits and vegetables, which is water.
Yes.
So if you don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and you're more a carb protein person, you need to drink eight glasses a day. But make it fun. Make it carbonated. Throw in cucumber, berries. Do not buy the artificially sweetened waters like the vitamin waters. Not good for you at all.
Watermelon wedges in a little triangular wedge or watermelon balls the old-fashioned way.
Oh, my God. I love the wedges because you eat so much more of it. And that's all water.
Yes.
So if you're eating tons of fruits and vegetables, you're probably getting your water.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Now, on September 6th, everyone, Rose Reisman is walking a fantastic half marathon, the Walk to Conquer Cancer, to raise funds for Princess Margaret Hospital and their groundbreaking research. Yeah. You constantly amaze me, Rose. How are you preparing briefly for this 21K for a cause very close to your heart?
Right. So I tell people I do work out every day, so I'm pretty good, but I increase your mileage. So 2 weeks before the walk, like normally I' walk my dog 4 kilometers, 6 kilometers. Try to increase that every week until you get to about 10 or 12. Don't do 21 because usually if you do 21 before the race, you might injure yourself. Make sure you fuel right. So the 2 days before the walk, carbs. Carbs are important. They really work. The morning of, have a lighter breakfast, but protein, carbs, and healthy fats. And during the walk, be careful because on the walk, they'll fill you with cookies and all the those granola bars. Just have some nuts, dried fruit. That's all you need to get to the 21 kilometers. And it's 4 hours of walking. Make sure you're not wearing new shoes because new shoes, you've got to break in. So I'm just going out to get a new pair of shoes probably this week.
What kind are you going to get? Because I need running shoes so badly.
I know. I like Nike. I like Balance. I mean, as long as it's got a nice thick heel to give me support because that's for the back too.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a problem walking that distance if you're working out already.
Well, we're going to be cheering you
Thank
on.
You.
You're so
Thank
terrific.
You.
I've asked you this before, the last time I interviewed you, and that was a couple of years ago. I'm going to ask it again for you. What is bliss these days for Rose Reisman?
Oh, it's easy. We said it, Judith's family.
Yeah, of course.
It's talking every day. I talk to all 4 kids every day. I see the grandkids 2-3 times a week. That makes me the happiest.
Totally.
So I don't go down to Florida for 3 months or Mexico. I like to be hands-on here.
Fantastic. I so get that.
Yeah.
What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and buy your beautiful books?
Oh, just go to @RoseReisman. You can message me directly. My email is rose@rosereisman.com. Send me an email, and I'm sure to answer every email you send.
What an honor to have you back
Thank
on the
you,
show today.
Judy.
Thank
you so
much. Thrilled
to be on. Thank you.
Love you. Have a Thank wonderful. You. Love you. I do. Don't we all love Rose Reisman?
Oh, you're so sweet.
Have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
Thank you,
Rose. Oh, I'm supposed to tell you that we're about to go on a short commercial break. More with Finding Your Bliss, and we'll meet thinking partner Jess Rapp when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Statements made and opinions expressed on Finding Your Bliss belong to the host and guests on her show.
We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. We're now joined by Jess Rapp. And Jess is a former talent agent and is now a thinking coach and the founder of Rapp Sessions. What a great name. And let me tell you a little bit more about Jess before we meet her. So as mentioned, Jess Rapp is a thinking partner who supports creative professionals through coaching, counseling, and mentorship. She offers perspective and personalized strategies to help artists navigate the complexities of their chosen industries. With over 25 years of experience in the entertainment industry, Jess is uniquely positioned to assist artists as they face the challenges and choices and changes that come with a creative life. The first decade of her career was spent in the creation of new theater, music management, and television production in Toronto, Halifax, and New York. In 2007, a well-established talent agent posed a question that shifted her path. Have you ever thought about being an agent? Which I've thought about, so that really resonated for me. That moment marked the beginning of a new chapter. Jess went on to work at some of the top talent agencies in the business before founding her own agency, Jess Rapp Talent, in 2014. Over the next 12 years, she represented remarkable and creative individuals in a career full of highs and lows and transformative experiences. Through this journey, Jess came to understand the deep joys and the unique challenges that accompany a life rooted in creative expression, recognizing the need for a space where artists could really feel seen, I get this so much, and supported. She made the decision in 2019 to close her agency and launch a coaching and mentorship practice focused on artists. Jess believes that creative professionals don't have to go at it alone. As a thinking partner, she offers guidance, clarity, and compassionate support to those walking the creative path. Jess, so delighted to have you here. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Hey, Judy, so good to sit with you.
Everyone in the audience, call us if you have a question for Jess about navigating your life or career as an artist. If you're feeling a little stuck and you need some guidance and some help and some support, some love, phone us and lay it out for us to hear, and maybe Jess can help you. The number to call is 1-866-740-4740 or local 416-360-0740. Jess, I love the story of how you became a talent agent many years ago. First of all, can you tell us briefly how that all evolved and happened?
Certainly. Well, there was a time where I was on the stage. And someone said that thing, if you can imagine yourself doing anything else, you should. That was the thinking at that point. And the truth is, I mean, I love the arts. I worked at LiveEnt, if anyone out there remembers those years.
Yes.
I just always wanted to be around the arts. And artists specifically, I mean, my greatest love are artists. And I think there was just a natural bent towards supporting, encouraging, promoting them. And so once upon a time, I was working on a show on CBC called Triple Sensation, and in a marvelous, wonderful agent at the time, Beth Russell, who would later go on to be the casting director at Stratford, she said, "Have you ever thought about being an agent?"
Wow.
And it was literally one sentence that changed my life. And I said, as a matter of fact.
I would.
Yes.
Wow. And what did you love during those years about being a top talent agent in the industry? What were some of the highlights for you?
Well, when you see someone who is just so full of talent and storytelling, and really it's easy to sell them, if you will, you know, these are the people that we seek out in times, you know, when we need comfort, when we want to see our stories told. And so for me, it was clearing the path, is the way that I used to put it, clearing the path so that they could do the thing they're meant to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, the word representation means something. You know, I was their representation in the world, and it was a privilege to be doing that.
Wow. What would be a typical day in the life of being a talent agent? I can only imagine.
Yes. Well, you're pretty much shot from a cannon in the morning.
breakdowns.
Yes. Yeah. That was once upon a time. Yeah. It's really all day long. And there's a lot of, you know, it's a combination of sort of proactive. There's a proactive approach where you're, you know, trying to get ahead of the game, if you will. And then there's a lot of reactions. So, you know, casting directors are putting out breakdowns, which is basically just giving you the, you know, who they need to cast for any given project. That could be theater, it could be film, it could be television, commercials as well. And so you're really just matching. I mean, in some ways, it's a bit of a matchmaker, I guess you could say, putting the people, you know, who have the skill set and the desire and who are available together with the people who are seeking those individuals.
And then something happened. There was a major turning point, call it a pivot, where you woke up one day and said, "I don't want to be a talent agent anymore. What happened?
Well, what I would say, it was maybe even a little more gradual than that. And I think, you know, I think whenever anyone's going through that sort of transition, it starts with a little bit of a whisper, mm-hmm. you know, and it gets louder and louder. And if it's nothing, it will go away. And if it's something, it will keep getting louder. And, you know, in my case, I could feel, in retrospect, now I know that it was the beginning of burnout. And I mean, I was just, it's not unusual, you know, agents work long, long hours.
Yes.
For me, I was just pushing and pushing and pushing myself. Mm. And I could, I really, the moment was that if I couldn't maintain the level of, you know, the promise I had made to my clients and the level of work that I wanted to, you know, that I promised to do for them.
Deliver, right.
Deliver, then, you know, I made a shift. I also had a health crisis. That's the other thing that will happen. It will go from a whisper mm-hmm. to something louder. And then if you're not paying attention to what's going on inside of your mind, your body will chime in.
Right.
So thankfully, I got through that health crisis. Yeah. But I had the question that said, you know, what do I want my next 10 years to look like? And that one nugget that I loved the most about being an agent was talking to my clients about the things that their dreams and the things that were sort of broader picture type conversations. Yeah. And I thought, why don't I extract that? Why don't I be that person for them? And that was the sort of the genesis of this new business.
So you decided to become a thinking partner and coach. What exactly is a thinking partner? And what is your process in your day-to-day as a thinking partner? What do you do?
So I work one-on-one with artists of all different walks. So certainly my background is with actors, but I work with directors and choreographers and dancers, writers.
Singers,
exactly. Visual artists, you name it. But the reason I call it a thinking partner is because I'm not there to tell you what to think. I'm there to think with you. I find that a lot of artists already kind of know what the answer is, but there's a lot of mythology. There's a lot of stuff that's just piled on top. The shoulds. Maybe you have someone in your ear who's worried about you. You know, all of that sort of stuff. And so I'm there. I'm not your mom. I'm not your partner. I'm not worried about you. I am there to encourage, to clear out the cobwebs and get to the clarity of the moment, all for the purpose of moving forward.
What is it that you can do that can help someone get out of a negative thought loop? Is it intuition or is it something that you've learned to do? Like, what tools do you have that you can share with your clients?
Yeah, it's so individual because everybody has their own story. Mm-hmm. So it really is, I mean, I want to be very clear that I'm not a psychotherapist. I did not go to school for that. This is really about years and years and years of working with artists. Yes. And understanding that everybody comes from a different place. And so it really is a lot of improv when I'm speaking with people, you know, and I can zone in. I guess I just have a natural talent for zoning in on picking up on the thing that's stopping them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the time I speak to the mythology that that individual might have come up through, whether it's their community, their family, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sort of playing it out. You know, there's a lot of speaking to the fear and debunking the fear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talking about what does success actually look like? Because I find that a lot of artists, it's very natural. It's a lot of people are like this. They work from the outside in. What does success look like and how do I get there? Mm-hmm. As opposed to listening to the thing that makes you, that makes you excited, that makes you get up every morning. The personal expression that you want to put out into the world. And I think if you come from that place, there's a much better chance success is going to come to you. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's funny because when we're coaching, I'm a coach as well, and we're in a group, like, in fact, I'm part of a mastermind group with Meg Ruffman, our supervising producer, Elaine Overholt, and a lot of women in this industry, actually, on-air people, singers, actors, and we sort of will sit in a circle and someone will present a concern or a problem and everyone will chime in. So it does, you know, two heads are better than one kind of deal. Is that part of this as well, that someone is stuck on how to navigate something and you might have an idea out from left field that they had never considered before?
Absolutely. It's that fresh perspective. I also tend to be a mirror for a lot of people. As I said, I really believe that a lot of people know themselves best. It's really about getting out of their own way. I think that's just so key. And so if I can be the person to either put a mirror up to what is already happening or, you know, maybe break apart a myth that they've been living with or ask a question that maybe they haven't considered before. It really is a collaboration. And very often it's not really reinventing the wheel. It's really just opening them up to something that already exists.
That's awesome. You had someone who once imparted this quote to you, leave room for the magic to happen. Can you tell us more about what those words mean to you?
Well, I feel compelled to say who that was. It is one of my greatest, my own greatest mentors, Alan Mayer, who was a counselor. I went to him for years.
Wow.
A wonderful human. And I think what it speaks to is we plan and we plan and we plan and we crowd our days with things. You know, our schedules are busy. We're scrolling on Instagram. We're doing all the things. And where it came from was leaving room for the unexpected, leaving room for the thing that you didn't plan for. Mm-hmm. Maybe it means sitting in a coffee shop without your phone and someone comes through the door that you haven't seen in a long time. Or you have just a little interaction with someone that lifts you in your day. Mm-hmm. The spectrum is quite broad. It can be just a little magic moment where you actually look in someone's eyes, all the way up to reuniting with someone who maybe you wouldn't have seen if you hadn't left your house or left, or you know, you weren't rushing around the world. I have seen it. It proves itself over and over and over again. If you can just leave room in your day, in your brain, in your lungs, take a breath and look up and, you know, the magic will find you.
And the miracles, right? The magic and the miracles. That's what I feel about this business is you never know from day to day. Like for me, it's like an unbelievable guest magically appears or a wonderful moment with someone or a wonderful letter or email. And I just go, oh, now I remember why I'm doing this again. It's just, and if you're open, you see it and you hear it and you feel it. Do you find there's any recurring themes when working with your clients, things that come up over and over? And I know I have that with mine.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, one thing that I often speak to them about is, you know, because I think it's the sort of under the heading of currencies, if you will. Of course, the most obvious one is financial money, you know, but I think that there are so many other currencies. And I think the theme that comes up is that I actually bring it up a lot with clients because there's time, there's energy, there's passion. There's so many different ways that you can evaluate where you are and where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I find that as soon as I bring that up to people, it opens them up. All of a sudden, the thing that maybe they thought they weren't supposed to do, they're like, oh, wait a second. That actually would fulfill one of those many currencies, you know? And I find that that tends to be a conversation point.
That's so true. It's all about being authentic. I always think about Oprah when she just is herself, and that's why people loved her. She wasn't perfect. She just sort of said it like it is. So you've said also there's true power in being true to oneself, being authentic, being real. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. You know, it brings up an example for me. When I was an agent, I had this wonderful client who for years kept saying, I really want to cut my hair. She wanted to make it funky, very modern. And really, in my early years, I was saying, wait, I thought that maybe it would keep her from being hired. Mm-hmm. It would make her less flexible. Mm-hmm. Anyway, at a certain point, I just said, you know what, this is you. You need to live your life. Let's just do it. And of course, you can imagine, she immediately got hired for a million things. Because the truth is, although it was external, it was actually speaking to something inside of her. And so she was showing up places exactly as herself. It was incredibly attractive, and she was hired over and over again.
You said that you believe that one's wounds can be the key to one's gifts. Can you say more to that?
Yeah, I really, really believe this. We don't escape this life without a wound, right? And a wound can be a sadness, a disappointment, maybe a parent who didn't show up the way you wanted them to in your life. And I would say that there are ways that we get through those things. There are ways that we explain those things to ourselves. There are ways that we heal enough or plug it enough to move forward. But I do think, you know, for instance, if I can be very personal, for me, you know, my father left when I was quite young. And little four-year-old Jess thought to herself, well, perhaps I'm not special enough. Maybe that's why he left. That's what a four-year-old brain does. Right. And what I came to understand, although that could be seen as just a wound that you carry throughout your life, but I think in my want to be special, I wanted other people to be special. I saw that in other people, and I think it ultimately led to, you know, maybe elements of why I became an agent, why I wanted other people to succeed, why I wanted other people to be special in the world.
Wow. And that made you feel special in turn, too.
Yeah, it was a way that I could do that, I guess.
That's so cool. Is there a golden nugget that you'd like people to understand about you and how you can help any actors or singers out there, or directors, or dancers, choreographers, artists who are struggling, maybe are so close to getting something and just need that final push to get there, or anything thereabouts?
Yeah, certainly.
What would you say?
Well, what I would, you know, there's so much out of our control in this business, really. And so it's about focusing on what actually is in your control. Yes. And that is mindset. That is making sure that your muscles, the muscles of whatever it is that you're doing, are, you know, always being worked. So I am a huge proponent of being in class. You know, not only for the skills that you're going to pick up in class, but then you're with your people, you know. But along with being with your people, I also really encourage people to be with people who aren't in the industry. Because, of course, when you are an actor or when you're an artist of any kind, you need to understand the world around you. Yeah. But, you know, I do believe that it really comes down to mindset. And it comes down to believing that you have as much right to success and to be in that place as anybody else, you know. Yes. And I think when you walk in the room and you bring that with you, people pick up on it.
Yes, you bring that energy that says, I've already got it. You've manifested it already in your brain, and it shows. You feel it, but other people feel it as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So there's a question we ask everyone at the end of this show, and of course I'm going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Jess Rapp?
Bliss for me is connection.
Yeah.
In my personal life, in my professional life, you know, it's the fuel that is at the core of who I am. So, you know, it can manifest itself for me in being of service to people. It's conversation. It's that human connection. It's everything to me. And I think, you know, as I said before, if we can just look each other in the eye and connect and realize that really there's way more about us that's similar than is different. I mean, I just think that's key to everything.
Was there an epiphany for you just very briefly with a client when you were a talent agent or now in this new capacity? Just an epiphany where you went, wow, it doesn't get any better than this.
I mean, I swear to you, it's every time. It's every time, you know, if someone were to say, what would you do if money wasn't a thing? This is it. You know, every time I speak with someone, there isn't an individual who isn't quote unquote special, who doesn't deserve to be seen and heard. And it's amazing how much, you know, what a privilege it is to actually speak to people about the thing that they love to do.
Have you worked with any major celebrities?
So if I had a dollar for every time I was asked that, I would be a millionaire. Listen, what I often say about Canada is we don't really have the same star system that you do in the States. But every single person I work with, I thought was a star. And they're on every time you watch a television show, every time you watch a film, every time you go to the theater, you're seeing these incredible Canadian actors.
Yes, it's true.
You know, really. And so, yeah, I mean, I've had my days with some sparkly people, but they are all sparkly as far as I'm concerned.
That's a good answer. That's a very good answer. That's like someone saying, who's your favorite client as a coach? I'm not allowed to say anyway. So.
Exactly.
So that's it. Well, I'll tell you, somebody who was very, very sparkly, I just want to say this before we say our goodbyes, was Tiffany Pratt last week. I don't know if you know her. What a wonderful person she is. And she has this fantastic book called This Can Be Beautiful, and Tiffany Pratt's book. And she added all these doodads and all these fun little things, all these crafty things
to it.
And it just, I'm dying to win it.
It looks like a birthday cake.
It does look like, you're right. It looks like a birthday cake with sparkles and sprinkles. And so the winner, we do have a winner. Drum roll, please. The winner is Gayla Schwartz. So congratulations, Gayla. We will be in touch very soon to get you a copy of this incredible book directly from Tiffany Pratt. Thanks again, Tiffany. And for anyone who missed that episode, check it out on our podcast. You can do that by going to findingyourbliss.com/radio, or you can get it on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Zoomer, all over. It's there, and it's a gorgeous one. I want to thank you so much, Jess, for being on the show today. What is the best way for people to contact you and connect with you on social media to get your services as a thinking coach? And how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. On Instagram, which is a brand new Instagram, I must admit, it needs some zhuzhing. But it is at Rapp Sessions. Rapp is spelled R-A-P-P, as in Peter, Sessions.
Great. Do you know how to rap?
I mean, that's questionable. I'll leave that to the experts. I know how to talk, though, let me tell you. So that's Instagram. Website is jessrapp.com. And the best way to reach me would be email jess@jessrapp.com.
Fantastic. That sounds so wonderful. I hope that anyone out there who wants some great advice on how to get unstuck, and I have a feeling that Jess Rapp could be the person that could help you with that. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so glad I met you. Don't you love life that you just
love
meet?
Magic happened, Judy.
The magic happened. We met at the Fringe Festival. Then we had a wonderful conversation on the phone. And now we're here in the studio. And it's so wonderful to meet you. And you'll have to come back on again
and
tell us more. So each week we spotlight a fabulous person on this show, like Jess Rapp and like Rose Reisman, who we had in the first segment, who are living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, a therapist, or a life coach, a celebrity of any kind, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. And as you all know, we also love to feature singer-songwriters or musicians on the show. I actually have my daughter in the control room in from New York City. She is the most talented, beautiful singer, and she just performed at 54 Below last week, and she was fantastic. So we always love to feature lovely singers, songwriters, musicians on this program. If you're a singer, please reach out to us. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you would like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck and find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. And I'm also on Insight Timer. What you don't all see is that I talk before the show. We do a little meditation with everyone. I did it off the top of the show today, and we do a little breathing. So just check that out, Insight Timer. It's a free meditation app, and you can find me under Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. So I want to thank our wonderful guests, Rose Reisman and Jess Rapp, for being on the show today. Also, a big thank you to Mag Ruffman, who I just saw this week in a wonderful mastermind get-together with Liz West and Mag and Della Bitove and Renee Welling, who's a former Miss Canada, and Haley and Arlene and all of us. It was just fabulous at our home. And we had a mastermind group, which is a fantastic thing. So the other people I want to thank, of course, are Siobhan Kylie and producer Chelsea Lockstedt and Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanuzziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky. And how do you know about her? By checking out findingyourbliss.com magazine. And all those wonderful articles under posts are because of Lauren and the wonderful Bliss newsletter. Just go to @thebliss_minute on my Instagram to hook up to that newsletter, and you'll read all kinds of fabulous things. We also want to thank our video editor, Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer, Faz Kazi, Owen Wolf there in the studio. Thank you, Owen. Lily Liebrack, so good to have you in town. And everyone here at Zoomer. And you know who I have to thank? The person who's filming this right now. That's Jessica from Shutterbee. And Shutterbee is awesome, and so is she. She's the best. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor today, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to breathe and take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.